And immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew, with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever, and immediately they told him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she served them. That evening at sundown they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered together about the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, a great while before day, he rose and went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him followed him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In this Gospel from St. Mark, we hear many things about the Lord Jesus, about what he's doing. He heals people of their sicknesses with miraculous power. He drives out demons, and he preaches the gospel. And all of these actions of the Lord Jesus immediately benefit those around him. His healings bring good health to others who had been sick. His exorcisms bring spiritual freedom to those who had been oppressed by the devil. And his preaching of the gospel gives people a roadmap for their lives, teaching them what is most important and how to live. And together these things, his healings, his exorcisms and preaching, all make people believe in him, to believe that he is the Son of God, that he's all-powerful, stronger than nature, stronger than the devil, and that his word is trustworthy because it is truth. There is something, though, that is different and raises questions, something that he does, and it's mentioned in this gospel I read to you. And in the morning, a great while before day, he rose and went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed. He prayed. Jesus prayed. And this is different, and it raises questions for us. Why did he do this? We can easily understand why he did the other powerful actions. His healings, his exorcisms, and his authoritative preaching led people to believe that he is the Messiah. They demonstrated his divine power, inspired people to have faith in him, to hope in him. But his prayer is different. Jesus prays, but to what purpose? There is no immediate and visible benefit that his prayer achieves when you compare it to his other actions of preaching, of exercising, and of healing. And praying does not demonstrate his power like the other actions did. Rather, praying appears as a sign of weakness. His prayer suggests that he relies not on his own power, but that of another. And here is a problem for us. Christ is the Son of God. He is consubstantial with the Father. He is the Word of the Father, the Word made flesh that dwelt among us. He is of the same being as the Father, and therefore of the same power. So why did he pray? He did not need to pray. His oneness with his Father was never broken. Even his death would not break his consubstantial nature with the Father. His bond with the Father was never broken. He remains, from all eternity, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. So, why did he pray? We can only conclude that he did this to set an example for us. Think about this. Jesus, by praying, takes upon himself a sign of humility, indeed a sign of weakness, and he does this to inspire us to do the same, inspiring us to pray to God. Christians must be people of prayer. Every disciple of the Lord Jesus must be someone who prays each day. Jesus does not, of himself, stand in need of God, because he is God. But we do. We stand in great need of God, of his presence, his gifts and his blessings. Christ will teach us that without him, we can do nothing. Prayer, very, very important. The Catechism teaches us that prayer is simply a raising of one's mind and heart to God. It is the living of that personal and living relationship that we have with the Most Holy Trinity that begins at our baptism. Prayer is so important for the life of the followers of Christ. Without prayer, without some kind of prayer each day in our lives, then our minds never rise above our present circumstances. In fact, our present circumstances become the dominant reality in our lives. In a way, our present circumstances, without prayer, our present circumstances take the place of God. They're all the things that we think about. They're the only things we think about. And this can have great, terrible negative effects upon us. If our present circumstances are good, if I don't pray, I'm filled with pride. I begin to look down upon others who are less fortunate. I feel that I have achieved all of these good things in my life of my own will and own ingenuity. If my present circumstances are bad, if I don't pray, it will lead me to despair, to lose hope. I begin to feel that my life is out of control or perhaps a failure. But with prayer, if my present circumstances are good, my prayer leads me to be grateful to God for all of his gifts, graces, and blessings which he has bestowed upon me. I become thankful to God who created all of the good things I have. And this prayer leads me to be more charitable to others who are less fortunate. With prayer, if my circumstances are bad, my prayer leads me to greater trust in divine providence. I still have hope, knowing that my poor life is in the hands of our loving Father. That's what prayer does. Without prayer, I have no sense of spiritual direction in my life. My present surroundings toss me this way and that way, leaving me bewildered. Without prayer, temptations abound, and they seek to govern my life and to thwart the path of goodness that I've been on. But with prayer, with daily prayer, I have my direction each day. I know that God is with me, that he is leading me, and that living in a way pleasing to him is my mission each day. With prayer, I let the words of the Lord Jesus govern my life. Temptations, though they still abound, lose their power over me. Prayer is very, very important. Christians must be people of prayer. In a very particular way, above all, a Catholic priest must be a man of prayer. I say a word of encouragement to my brother priests. You must be a man of prayer. Pray every day. If a priest loses his discipline of prayer each day, very quickly things will fall apart in his life. And if the discipline of prayer can fall away from anybody's life, it can also fall away from the life of a priest. Brother priests, pray every day. Prayer is very important for all disciples of Christ. In addition to the miracles that can be obtained from the Lord by his answer to our prayers, prayer always helps us in our lives. Dear brothers and sisters, I encourage you to pray each day. I urge you strongly in the Lord Jesus to raise your mind and heart to the Most Holy Trinity each day of your life. No matter what your circumstances are, see prayer as your priority. We know that the Mass is the highest form of Christian prayer. If you can go to Mass every day, really give an effort to do that. But I also cannot fail in this regard to recommend to you to pray each day the Rosary, the Most Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Rosary is a powerful prayer, and it embodies all kinds of Christian prayer wrapped into one. Learn how to pray the Rosary each day, meditating with Our Lady on the mysteries of the life of her Divine Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, upon his joyful mysteries, upon his light, upon his sorrow, and his glory. I assure you that if you pray the Rosary each day, you will experience evermore how near the good God is to you, and you will come to understand more clearly his mysterious, loving, and beautiful plan for your life. God bless you.